He put his hand on her leg and slid it up toward her genitals while at the same time pushing her head down to his crotch. Oh, my God. Could this get any funnier? Okay. Sexual assault is not funny. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about this clown, this moron, this Herman Cain, right? Oh, my God. We'll talk about that a little bit later here. 7 past the hour, welcome to the Molloy Program. This hour is, when I heard that, I just about lost it. I just about drove into a crowd of school kids trying to get on a school bus. Okay, that part was not true. This hour is sponsored by Bruce Newhall. His message, a gigantic thank you to the Occupy representatives around the world. You are all my heroes. Yeah, me too, Bruce. Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for the sponsorship. Okay, between or among the news items put out there today as breaking, earth-shattering, horrendous, we had half of the athletic department at University of Pennsylvania, including the winningest football coach in college football history, Joe Paterno. We had the verdict on the Michael Jackson manslaughter case. And, of course, we had the Herman Cain Clown Act. Not that sexual assault, which is what this is turning out to be, is at least a bit funny. I'm talking about Herman. Total clown. Oh, my God, this guy. Okay, so those were the three big stories. And I just wondered, did you miss this one? Did you happen to see this on the news? This is from yesterday. Yesterday. Thousands of people from across the United States and Canada completely encircled the White House grounds. Yesterday. Thousands. In a show of, Truth Out reports it as a show of strength that sent a clear message to President Obama, say no to the proposed Keystone XL pipeline that is designed to carry oil from Canada to the U.S. Gulf Coast in Texas. Activists of all ages descended on the White House, including more than 1,000 young people. Did you see video about this? Did you see any photos in any major newspapers? Any video on ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, Bloomberg, CNN, or the Rupert Murdoch Terrorist Broadcast Organization? Anything? Anybody see anything? Can I see a hand? Any hands going up? Anything? Anything at all? No. I mean Penn State, not University of Pennsylvania, excuse me. Well, I didn't, but, you know, I spent the weekend hanging out with my wife and child. So, I might have missed it. But thousands of people surrounding the White House. And after surrounding the White House, there was a march that snaked through downtown D.C. carrying the momentum of the Occupy movement along. And they had an inflatable black pipeline replica as long as the city block. Anybody see any of that? Did you see the coverage that was provided? No? At one point, the protesters filled the plaza outside the American Petroleum Institute office and chanted, "We are the 99%. And then the protesters ceremoniously deflated their pipeline at the nearby Occupy DC encampment. Anybody see any of that video? Huh? Thousands of people surrounding the White House. No? The march blocked traffic and drew police, but the protests remained peaceful. No arrests were made. Now, that's in contrast with the 2-week sit-in back in August in front of the White House, remember, where 1,253 people were arrested. Did you see this? You see any pictures of this? Any video? Hear anybody report on it? Talk about it? Say anything? No? Nothing? Mr. Obama was playing golf in Virginia during most of the action, but protesters said he should not ignore the sheer numbers of protesters that showed up at his doorstep. You know, environmentalists and young voters put Obama in the White House in 2008, and if Obama signs this thing towards the end of this year, he has the final say on whether or not this pipeline goes through. I think a lot of his supporters, and rightfully so, will abandon him. They'll just throw up their hands and say, to hell with it. All kinds of lies about this so-called pipeline. TransCanada, the oil giant that wants to build this, proposed that the $7 billion, 1,700-mile pipeline would pump 830,000 barrels of tar sands oil a day across 14 states to refineries in Oklahoma and Texas. The Obama administration is facing a year-end deadline to make a final decision on the pipeline, but here it comes. A State Department official told reporters last week that the decision may, you know, kind of slip past the deadline if the administration needs more time to review the State Department's final report. The State Department has already signed off on it.
Yes, well, this is okay. I mean, you know.
And in an interview with a Nebraska television station last week, Mr. Obama suggested he would make the final decision at some point. A sophomore college student quoted here by Truthout, who traveled from Pittsburgh to the protest, said Obama stands to lose much of the support that his 2008 campaign got from student volunteers if he sides with big oil and approves the pipeline. No kidding. Regarding that pipeline and regarding TransCanada, there have been 14 reported oil spills along the existing Keystone pipeline system. 14. And opponents, that would be people who still are hoping that we don't choke to death on planet Earth. Opponents say a major spill from this pipeline could poison farmland. And the Ogallala Aquifer, the huge river of water deep underground that provides life to a huge chunk of the West and the Midwest. But these people don't care. They don't give a goddamn. Right, you can boil your water if we, you know, get it all screwed up, right? Ranchers from Nebraska, who are normally about as red as you can get, as right-wing as you can get, are starting to become nervous and are signing on with the hated environmentalists opposing the pipeline. And, you know, it's self-interest. Ranchers are facing the threat of losing land to eminent domain and worried that a potential spill could poison farmland and the aquifer. We'll be right back.
To leave them all, they follow me to the star with these stars I can fall. Kids, take them back, you know that that does their talk, astronauts, TV games, their plays. They don't understand. And how can I?
Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So anyway, thousands of people surrounded the White House, the grounds of the White House, on Sunday in protest of the Keystone XL pipeline that environmentalists say just the extraction of this filth from the earth in Canada, just the extraction process is game over as far as the atmosphere is concerned. And of course, we all use the atmosphere, don't we? But the oil companies could not care less. So ranchers in Nebraska are joining hands, so to speak, with the environmentalists, because the ranchers know that their very livelihoods, their money, their wallet, and possibly their lives, although a lot of them don't believe that nonsense about global warming, is at stake here. If the pipeline goes through, it means right of eminent domain will be applied against them, so they will have to give up part of their land for the construction of this monster. If there is an accident, as there has been 14 times, 14 reported oil spills along the existing Keystone pipeline system. So when the big, massive one occurs, there goes fresh water for millions of people in the center of the country. Gone. And then, well, TransCanada will be fined, just like BP was fined, just like ExxonMobil has been fined. Oh, well, that'll make it all right, won't it? Obama's not only under pressure, it says here, from protesters and environmental groups. In addition, a Canadian official has warned that if the Obama administration refuses to approve the pipeline, Canada will ramp up efforts to sell its oil to other countries, possibly in Asia. That's according to Reuters news agency. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. If the Canadian environmentalists who have stopped this monster once, if they cannot stop it again, then I guess it'll be the extraction will take place and this poison will wind up in the atmosphere at some point. So, but I would think that the United States has a moral obligation. Oh, I almost lost my head there for a minute. Excuse me. I was going to say, I would think the United States has a moral obligation not to continue to contribute to the end of life as we know it on planet Earth. And then I realized that in any kind of statement that contains the two words moral obligation in these times, where concerns the capitalists, the corporatists, or just damn near any government, with one or two exceptions, is a joke. I mean, why am I still using that kind of language? Do you still use that kind of language? United States has a moral obligation. United States must consider from an ethical standpoint, you know, do you still say things like that? God. TransCanada and supporters of the project say it will decrease America's dependence on oil from unfriendly countries and create thousands of jobs. No, it won't. And the oil doesn't go to us anyway. These are the lies, the main lies that any oil company, I don't care if it's American, British, Canadian, Russian, it makes no difference. These are the lies that they say. A Cornell Global Labor Institute report released last month shows that only 3 to 4 billion of the 7 billion that would be spent on the project would be spent in the U.S. And TransCanada's claim that the project would create 20,000 jobs is a lie. Well, Cornell uses the word unsubstantiated. I call it a lie. The report also found that most jobs would be temporary and go to non-local and out-of-state workers. Well, it's gonna free up the United States oil into being lying sons of bitches. I mean, that's what they count on, that we're so stupid, we're so ignorant. We've talked on this program about how the oil will be transshipped through this pipeline to a I'm using the wrong term here, but you'll get the idea, a duty-free zone, an export zone, I guess the word I'm looking for, an export zone where whatever permits are needed have already been granted, I guess. And, you know, export doesn't mean the U.S., does it? It means far away somewhere else. It means out of our country. So the lies just continue. I mean, Herman Cain lying. Oh, my God. Oh, sure. Oh, sure. It's kind of interesting. It's just another tale. It's like a Newt Gingrich lying. It's like all these right-wing Republican bastards lying. I have a whole list of them I'll share with you tonight. But, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But Herman Cain, the punk, I mean, he's just a chump. He's a punk out there, you know, doing what Sarah Palin did. You know, getting paid. Herman Cain is getting paid. That's all what this is about, just like Sarah Palin was getting paid. Herman Cain doesn't really want to be president of the United States. Give me a goddamn break. Herman Cain knows what he is incapable of doing. And certainly being president of the United States is right at the top of the list. But this is called getting paid. So, yeah, that story is real important. Meanwhile, thousands of people surrounded the White House in protest. Thousands. Thousands. Before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Bruce Newhall, who has a message. Here it is. A gigantic thank you to the Occupy representatives around the world. You are all my heroes. From Bruce. Thanks, Bruce. Nice message. Thanks for the sponsorship. So, the Keystone XL pipeline. A couple emails about it here, from Ann. Mike, I heard today that President Obama has decided to consider this issue after the 2012 election. Really? I didn't know that. It has been suggested that the Canadians aren't building their own refinery in Canada for this Keystone XL pipeline because the Canadians didn't want it. Also, it has been suggested that there was a proposed pipeline into China first, which the Chinese rejected. China? From Canada? Really? Okay. The people pushing this pipeline do not, or this, the Keystone XL do not consider that the weight of the polar caps, ice caps, are holding many things together, and once all the ice melts, it will release the tectonic plates, and then California will get the big one, to say nothing of resetting the polarity of the planet. Quote, and the mountains will topple into the sea and the sea will wash over the land, end quote. That has to be some holy text, right? Anyway, Anne sent this. I don't know that polar ice caps have really anything to do with tectonic plates. I don't, Anne, but, you know, I'll take your word for it. Either way, it's a pretty grim assessment. And from Tim, the other Tim from L.A., he writes, Mike, Obama's record on the environment, especially when it comes to drilling and resource extraction in wilderness areas, has been abysmal. Hell, they're letting big oil frack away in the population centers of the East. Why should they give a damn about a few elk and antelopes here in the West? And the rivers that are so precious in the Intermountain West? He hasn't been friendly to the Endangered Species Act either. And do you think that after all of that, he's made any friends in the redder than red states in the Mountain West? No. All in all, he hasn't been much of an improvement over George W. Bush, but he's as hated by the opposition as Bush was by the progressives. And now even the folks in the red states affected by the pipeline know what the game is, and Obama's on the fence? So why should we trust this guy going to make the right decision via the tar sands pipeline? I've heard he may defer the decision until after the 2012 election. Hell, even if he gets beat, you then know what the decision will be, don't you? I smelled a rat back in 2008 and once again voted for Nader. I'm not going to vote for Obama in 2012 either. He's had his chance to prove who he's with, and it ain't us. Tim W., the other L.A. Tim. Thanks, Tim. A quick shift here. Brad Friedman at his website, bradblog.com, has an exclusive. Oakland police are walking back from their claim that tear gas was necessary to protect officers from the Occupy Oakland demonstrations last week. The press conference that they conducted October 25th had been conducted shortly after a melee, which included the deployment of chemical agents on peaceful demonstrators. The police use of force resulted in injuries to, among others, well, that would be Scott Olson, the two-term Iraq veteran who sustained a fractured skull and admitted the hospital in critical condition. In response to questions mailed by the Brad blog to the Oakland Police Department's chief of staff, Sergeant Chris Bolton conceded that the department was unable at this time to substantiate claims made by the chief of police, Howard Jordan, that gas was deployed in order to protect law enforcement personnel from violent demonstrators. Instead, Sergeant Bolton softened the chief's initial claim. The sergeant described it as, quote, the chief's preliminary belief, end quote. You should read this. It's too long to get into detail on this program, but you can get all this information and see some videos if you'll go to bradblog.com. Bradblog.com. This is on the front page, an exclusive. And it sort of correlates or corresponds to the reports from Occupy Oakland that the violence that the police were reporting never occurred. Gee, there's a surprise. Herman Cain. I don't know why I pay any attention to this moronic freak at all, except for the fact that it proves the point that Republicans, teabaggers, conservatives, are dumber than a pile of dog crap. I mean, in the middle of this thing today, Cain's campaign, Cigarette Man, I guess, issued a statement. And the statement itself was hysterical. It's just hysterical. One of the parts of the statement where his campaign said that Cain denies everything, of course, denies everything, and that Cain's going back to his campaign. By God in heaven, he's going to go back. Here, hold on a minute. He's getting back on the topic at hand. And the topic at hand, where is it? Where's that statement? Damn it, it was just hysterically funny. I got it here someplace. Well, the statements he was making that that the Cain campaign was going to focus on Herman Cain's clearly enunciated foreign policy position. This is a guy who doesn't know that China has had nuclear weapons for 50 years. I'll bet you anything you would want to bet that if you and I and Herman Cain sat down someplace and we had a map on the wall, map of the world, and it was covered with a cloth. And we said, all right, I said, all right, Herman, when we take down the cloth, you'll have 10 seconds to find blank. And then you would say whatever state, country you'd want to say. And in 10 seconds, most of us with more than a 6th or 7th grade education could find that country on the map. I assume, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe kids are geographically ignorant these days. I don't know. But Herman Cain is not that far out of my generation, so I'm assuming that that he had geography in school someplace. And I will bet you anything you'd want to bet that if you said Sweden, he couldn't find it. If you said the Kamchatka Peninsula, he couldn't find it. If you said Uruguay, he couldn't find it. If you said Chad, he couldn't find it. If you said Malaysia, he couldn't find it. If you said Tasmania, his head would explode. This is a dumbass man. And the right-wing Republican baggers love him for that reason. Because he is so ignorant, as they are. I don't give a damn what the race is, although I've had several of my listeners who happen to be people of color who tell me that the black community is more or less looking at this chump as a chump. Like, who is this freak? But like I say, Herman's just out there getting paid. That's all he's interested in. Just like Sarah Palin. Just getting paid. Just, you know, gotta get me some of these Quinties together and, take care of business. All right. Black folk understand what Herman's doing. White people are so stupid, just dumber than stupid dirt. I mean, really, come on, white people. Come on, Caucasians. Wake up. Are you not? Well, I guess you're not. There's a long history of trying to get over after what Caucasians did to black folk. Herman is just the latest incarnation of that. I mean, that's all he's doing. When he goes home at night to whoever he goes home to him, he just sits there and he probably has himself a Glenlivet, and he sits there and goes, you know, I knew white people were stupid, but I never had any idea they were this stupid.
Keep your hands to yourself.
This hour has been sponsored by Bruce Newhall, who has a message. A gigantic thank you to the Occupy representatives around the world. You are all my heroes. Thanks for the sponsorship, Bruce. Good message. Thank you. Yeah, here it is. In the middle of the press conference, the Herman Cain Traveling Snake Oil and Comedy Show issued the following statement. Activist celebrity lawyer Gloria Allred. See, activist is the word that just jiggles the whatever gland that is inside of Republicans. It makes them go crazy. Activist, huh? Activist. Activist. Activist celebrity lawyer Gloria Allred is bringing forth more false accusations against the character of Republican frontrunner Herman Cain. All allegations of harassment against Mr. Cain are completely false. Mr. Cain has never harassed anyone. Fortunately, the American people will not allow Mr. Cain's bold 999 plan, clear foreign policy vision, and plans for energy independence to be overshadowed by these bogus attacks. Well, I have news for you, Cain campaign. You're toast. Herman got paid. Everything's cool. He raised a lot of money. Now go home. Go home before somebody kicks your ass all the way around the block. Just go home. You people have caused enough trouble. Or stick around. Hell, I don't care. I'm just saying, you know. You bunch of freaks. Oh, my God. Herman. Herman. That's all right, Herman. I know. I understand. You have one Caucasian here who understands what you're doing. I get it. Sharon Bialik became the first woman to publicly accuse Cain of sexual harassment. It's not sexual harassment. This is more like sexual assault. If what she said is true, he put his hand on my leg, slid it up my dress, moving toward my genitals. Well, at the same time, he put his hand, other hand, on the back of my head and tried to pull my face down into his crotch. This guy has all the class of an octopus, doesn't he? I'm not laughing because it's not funny. I'm not laughing at sexual predators like Herman Cain. I'm laughing at Herman Cain. His clear foreign policy vision. Go ahead, Herman. Show us where Mongolia is. Show us where Tibet. I know. Show us where the Himalaya Mountains are. How about the Korean Peninsula? How about Becky, Stan? Can you find that one? Jesus God. In an interview after this press conference today, Joel Bennett, a lawyer for one of Cain's anonymous accusers, said that Ms. Bialik's claims were, quote, very similar, end quote, in nature to the incident that occurred between his client and Cain. You know, once you get up to the level of Herman Cain or you know, senators or business executives, once you get up to that level, propositioning a woman who comes to you for help in securing a job is as common as a glass of tap water. I mean, it's just, you know, okay, honey, put out. And look, I upgraded your hotel room. You know that before Gloria Allred took Ms. Bialik out for this press conference, that they probably confirmed with, what is it, Kathy Washington Hilton, where she was staying, and they upgraded, whatever, the Capitol Hilton. They probably confirmed that way back all those years ago. You know, it's a long time ago, like George Bush used to say. You know, that's so long ago, it doesn't count anymore. That's what Herman Cain's saying tonight. But they probably confirmed that Herman Cain or someone named Herman Cain had... Now, this is a plot, see. This woman did this herself, hoping that 14 years later, Herman Cain would run for president. This is what they're going to tell you next. It's just like the plot to make a phony birth certificate for Barack Obama 50 years ago, knowing full well that 50 years into the future he's going to run for president. Say, And the thing that gets me is the support for Herman Cain is steady on. You know, these are right-wing Caucasian Christians. Yes, indeedy, they're Christians. And see, this is the out that the Christians grant themselves. Well, you know, God's forgiven Herman already. So you people in media and this cheesy little 25-cent talk show with the Mike Mallory, you people can talk about it, tell you all you want to, but God has forgiven Herman. Right, Herman?
Yes, he has.
All right, then. This is yeah. You can live like an absolute murderous son of a bitch, and right before they push the poison into your vein, you can say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me, please. I accept Jesus Christ in my savior. Boom. And you're home free. And these evangelical Christians know that. So, Herman, don't lose hope, Herman. I mean, you can continue to get paid and make the rubber chicken circuit. They love you out there. Those Caucasian Christian conservatives, they love you. They love you, Herman, because you're making them kind of set aside their inherent racism that they all wallow and soak in every single night. But, you know, they say, well, I support Herman Cain. You know, and then they immediately use the N-word. But you go, Herman. Celebrity lawyer. That's how she's identified in this ridiculous response to all the talk today put out by the Cain campaign. Anyway, Gloria Allred said, quote, Mr. Cain, while running for president, is actively lying to Americans. Enough is enough. We have to fight back. This is what our client is doing here today. And interestingly, at the very beginning, before Sharon Bialik spoke, Sharon Allred said, or Gloria Allred said, my client is a registered Republican. You know, you have to say that these days, you see, because if she were a registered Democrat, well, right away, the swine, the filth in our society, like Limbaugh and Hannity and Beck and the rest of these destroyers, they could immediately say as well, you know, it's a Democrat. It doesn't matter if a Democrat gets sexually harassed or sexually assaulted. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean. So now, of course, I hope Gloria Allred has thoroughly vetted Sharon Bialik, because Ms. Bialik now will be put through the kind of torture that only right-wing pigs know how to apply. And I wonder what the press conference today, what effect that had on the serial adulterer Newt Gingrich, who over the weekend had kind of a grab ass event with Herman out in Texas. Yeah, the two of them got up there on the stage. It was just like frickin' frack, wasn't it? It was just like, oh my God, the Blues Brothers. Well, okay, not quite. You know, Newt Gingrich has about as much blues in him as the you imagine those two together. Wouldn't you have liked to have seen that? Anyway, it's my understanding that after the event, Newt was giving Herman some advice about, or he gave somebody his point of view that, yeah, here comes the liberal media again. Yeah, this is all trumped up. Well, okay, four women now. How much does it take before the Christians, the Caucasian Christian fundamentalist, evangelical, right-wing, teabag conservatives, decide that old Homan is not their candidate? How long do you think it'll take? Huh? Of course, like I said earlier, these phony-ass Christians, these gun-toting, Jesus-wouldn't-have-paid-tax Christian types, Caucasians who are supporting Cain, they'll tell you that, well, now, you know, we prayed about this the other night in church, and God spoke through our minister and said that Herman's been forgiven. You see how this works? Herman's been, you know, I mean, with that kind of action, why not just turn out all the prisoners in every prison in the United States before you turn them out and say, have you prayed to God last? I did. Did he forgive you? He did. Okay, you're free. I mean, why does it only apply to the kind of scum that Christian evangelical conservatives seem to gravitate toward? You know, people like Herman Cain. Now, when it was Bill Clinton, and keep in mind that Bill Clinton, his little whatever it was with his girlfriend, the only thing he could have violated was his marriage vow. But the right wing went nuts. They even impeached him over his girlfriend, right? Meanwhile, Newt Gingrich was boinking that strange-looking creature that he's married to now. At one time, she was an intern on the House Agriculture Committee. Can you imagine? Can you? No, I can't either. So he was boinking her on a regular basis while he was still married. Newt was. But Newt, of course, this huge... this man who just keeps getting, he keeps getting shorter and wider. Have you noticed that about Newt? I don't know what it is. I realize you start to compact and compress the older you get in terms of height, but man, he's looking weird these days. But anyway, I digress. There he is out there, Newt, the serial adulterer, the liar, the guy who tries to cut a deal with his wife right after she's had a cancer surgery. This guy, he's sitting out there with Cain over the weekend. How's it feel this morning, Newt? How's your best bud? It's still just all lies and BS from the liberal media, right? It's still just a bunch of, let's see now, who was it last week? It was Rick Perry. This is all Rick Perry's doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. Excuse me? Excuse me? Don't even go there. And then this freak says at his last press conference when someone wants to ask him about this, I think it was Saturday, Friday, he said, don't even go there. Where's my chief of staff? Right here. Will you please get a copy of the Journalism Book of Ethics and show it to him? The what? You know, the what? Herman, there is no such thing. A, B, China has nuclear weapons. A clear foreign policy vision? Herman Cain? Plans for energy independence? Oh my God! OMFG! Well, say goodnight, Herman. Jesus, God, say goodnight. This hour is being sponsored by Kathleen... by Kathy. Her message, give a hug and your respect to your vets today and every day. She means veterans, not veterinarians. I think, yeah, is that what you mean, Kathy, right? Give a hug and your respect to our vets today and every day. Signed, Kathy. Okay, thank you, Kathy. I appreciate the sponsorship. I don't know about Herman, except he's just a chump. And he's just fooling the Caucasians. The Caucasians are just running around with their hair on fire about Herman. I love this black man. I really do. I am now absolved of all my racism and all my sins. I'm going to vote for Herman. Yeah. Oh, yeah, here it is. Gingrich told NBC's Today Show that news organizations care more about scandal than ordinary citizens struggling to make ends meet. Well, that's probably true. Yeah. He said that voters want what Newt calls a solution-oriented leader more than a scandal. He says it's up to Herman Cain to handle in the way he sees fit. But Gingrich said there's a gap between the gossip, he calls it gossip, that he believes journalists pursue, and more deep-seated problems like economic stagnation. Well, you're right, Newt, but this applies to you, too. This applies to you. I remember when your porky little ass was the Speaker of the House and you made a determination. Matter of fact, you came out and said it. You said that you were not going to hold another press conference without mentioning, as powerfully as you could, Bill Clinton's, with his girlfriend Monica. You remember saying that, Newt? Huh? Was that, were you working on, were you a solution-oriented leader back then? Huh? Were you concerned with economic stagnation? Of course, there wasn't any with Clinton in office, but you're a hypocrite, Newt. You're a liar and a hypocrite and a coward, and you look funny, and your breath stinks, and you got funky hair, and your suits don't fit you, and I bet you have holes in your underpants, and your old lady looks like a zombie. There. Did I miss anything? So shut up and just sit down and shut up. Now there's talk that because Herman's gone, Bachman's gone, Perry's gone, the corpse handler's essentially gone. Huntsman doesn't have a chance. So that leaves Newt to save the country from Mitt Romney, right? So Newt is home tonight, even as we speak, sitting around with his campaign crew, figuring out how to capitalize on Herman's problems. You know that's the truth. You know it's the truth.
Hey, Mama, is it true what they say that Papa never watched a day in his life?
And Mama, some bad talk going around town saying that Papa had 3 outside children and another wife. And that ain't right.
Some 11. If you want a job, give me some 11. I upgraded that room for you.
Can I see it?
You want to show it to me? Are we taking calls now? Well, somebody wants to talk baseball? Yeah? Okay. Chris is in Evansdale, Indiana. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Hey, I was going to prove to you via the World Series that there is a God.
You go ahead, Chris. Do it.
Game 3 of the World Series when they went to Texas to play.
Yeah.
Albert Pujols hit 3 home runs.
Yeah.
after each home run crossing the plate, he signaled to God. And, wait a sec,
okay.
The TV camera panned to Nolan Ryan to get his reaction, and next to Nolan Ryan was the war criminal, George Bush.
Yeah.
God would not let the Texas Rangers win with the war criminal, George Bush, in the box.
Okay, well.
Proves there is a God because the Texas Rangers lost the World Series.
Well, amen and amen. All right. Are you sure what's his name wasn't pointing to the Goodyear blimp?
I don't think they had the blimp that night.
Oh, they didn't have it then? Okay. All right. Well, let me ask you something. If God does exist, why doesn't he reach down in, during World Series where the Texas Ranger played and George W. Bush sitting in a box, why didn't God reach down and pinch his head off?
I don't know.
I don't either.
You might enjoy that. Have a good night.
All right, Chris. Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, there you go. If you need proof of the existence of a deity, Chris just provided it, right? Pow. A judge today blocked a federal requirement that would have begun forcing tobacco companies next year to put graphic images, including dead and diseased smokers, on their cigarette packs. U.S. District Judge Richard Leon ruled that it's likely the cigarette makers will succeed in the lawsuit to block the new standard. He stopped the requirement until after the lawsuit is resolved, which, of course, could take years. This is what the murderous, filthy tobacco industry has been doing for the past century. Especially the past 50 years, when there was irrefutable proof that smoking, cigarettes are like guns. If used exactly as they are designed, they will kill you. It's that simple. And, of course, the tobacco industry just stalled and stalled for you. I thought Papantonio sued these sons of bitches. He was one of the attorneys, Mike Papantonio of Ring of Fire. And got enormous, what was it, $20 billion or $60 billion settlement? That's a couple of months' cash flow for these tobacco companies. They don't care. Death is what that's what they deal in, just like the oil companies. They deal in death. This is why I hate capitalism. Another reason. I mean, there are several reasons. But, you know, the tobacco companies say, well, you're interfering with our free speech by requiring us to put pictures on our cigarette packs that clearly and truthfully depict the outcome of using their filthy product. You are interfering with their free speech. That's their argument. The judge, Richard Leon, found that the 9 images approved by the Food and Drug Administration back in June go beyond conveying the facts about the health risks of smoking, or go beyond that into advocacy. We shan't have any advocacy, which is a critical distinction in a case over free speech. Now, if you remember, the packaging would have included color images of a man exhaling cigarette smoke through a tracheotomy hole in his throat. I've actually seen that. A plume of cigarette smoke enveloping an infant receiving a mother's kiss. A pair of diseased lungs next to a pair of healthy lungs. A diseased mouth afflicted with what appears to be cancerous lesions. A man breathing into an open oxygen mask. A cadaver on a table with post-autopsy chest staples. A woman weeping, a premature baby in an incubator, and a man wearing a T-shirt that features a no-smoking symbol and the words, I quit. We're not going to have none of that. Crap, that liberal, left-wing crap on a pack of cigarettes. God damn it, this is a legal product. We have a right to sell these. You're interfering with my free speech. Now get out of my face. I got people to kill. Get the hell out of my way.
he's everywhere. I do not like him on my station. I do not like them in my nation. It's more Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, this hour is being sponsored by Kathy. Her message: give a hug and your respect to our veterans today and every day. Thanks, Kathleen. From KC, why wouldn't the tobacco industry embrace the pictures? Come on, Mike, this would be a bonanza for the tobacco industry. Just think, millions of people worldwide would line up to buy each new pack, collect the whole set, like baseball cards, show them off at parties, good old American capitalism. Someone needs to tell the CEOs of the Merchants of Death that they could easily make a buck here. And Michael writes about the cigarette photo warnings, but it is perfectly okay for the lunatics to display photos of dead fetuses on anti-woman billboards for all to see. Yeah, that's right. You can do that anytime you want to, right? But showing, you know, what is it with conservatives? Why are you people so goddamn corrupt? Why do you back death constantly? You love war, cigarettes, guns. You push people who it's none of your goddamn business if someone's gay. It's none of your goddamn business if a woman has a right to privacy with her physician. It's none of your business. What is wrong with you people? You are evil. And then you claim to be Christians. You stink. Every single one of you, you stink. You have the stench of death all over you. I get so sick of living in a country where you kind of zombies roam. I mean, you make me sick to my stomach. You and your Herman Cain and your Michelle Bachman and Rick Sand Toilet or whatever the hell is in a sanitary. I mean, you make me sick. What is wrong with you people? You're all about death. You're about planetary death. You're about death from breathing asbestos and digging holes in the earth. You're all about, where are you people from? What goddamn dimension? How did you leak through to here? How did you do it? Why don't you go home? Go back to whatever rotten, decaying pile of flesh you came from and get out of here. Why don't you leave people who just want to live and have a good time? Leave us the hell alone. You right-wing teabag freaks. What is, I mean, good God. What the hell do you want from the rest of us? You bunch of jerks? Man, I get sick of this, wasting all this time talking about the kind of garbage these rat bastard right-wingers bring up constantly. We don't want pictures of diseased lungs on cigarettes. It'll interfere with our freedom of speech. You're the walking dead. You really are. You Republicans, you're the walking dead. And again, you Republican evangelicals, you hate-filled booger eaters, you have such a shock coming. If there's just a momentary flash, a momentary frame of reference when you step into the abyss, into the blackness that is eternity, your own death. And there are no angels, there are no harps, there's no Jesus, there's no Muhammad, there's no, you know, it's just nothing, nothingness, the blissful nothingness. And if you have just a moment, just a nanosecond, a billionth of a second to reflect on that, I want you to hear me laughing. Guns, death, destruction. Yeah, God damn it.
Jesus is muscular. Jesus isn't here about peace. Jesus says, I'm here to raise hell, kick ass, and take names.
You people are disgusting. I swear to God, you're disgusting. You know, focusing all this time on Herman Cain or Michelle Bachmann or Rick Perry or some of these other freaks, yeah, it drives me crazy, too. I mean, what a business to be in, this talk radio business, where this kind of stuff, it gets the attention. It gets the attention of the population. The reason I focus on Cain is because this unconscionable ass thinks he's going to be president? Oh, come on. Of course he doesn't. Like I said, he's out there running his hustle, just like Sarah Palin. I mean, the whole thing was just a hustle. Just a hustle. Do the hustle. That's right. Do the hustle. But enough is enough, you delusional bastard. Go home. Go eat a pizza. Go, I don't know, go write another book or have somebody ghostwrite it for you, Herman. Get out of town. Oy. Okay, Mike. Take it easy. All this stuff is nonsense. Deep breath. Exhale. There. Nick is in L.A. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Mike. You feeling good now?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, pal.
I love it. Keep it up. I love it. I'm in the car driving home from the office, and it just cheers my night up just listening to you.
Well, thanks, hey, Nick.
And keep it going and get louder. Don't get softer.
Yeah, right.
We need more people like you. Hey, I'm freaking out here on the West Coast because I think our brother Barack is going to try and flip us again. He's backing out of the tar sands project and trying to say we'll just postpone the decision until after the election next year.
Yeah.
And I'm scared that he's trying to trick us again because he's done it once, and can we maybe get someone in there to go up against him, you know? I don't trust him.
Well, you know, what's his name? Ralph Nader sent out that letter to a bunch of recipients asking for a slate of progressive candidates to challenge him, and I, as far as I know, nobody's responded yet. But as far as Obama, you remember what George Bush said, fool me once, shame on you, fool me again, and then he quoted a line from The Who. I mean, you know, George Bush was a dumbass. Barack Obama certainly is not a dumbass, but, you know, here it comes again. I think you're right. He's going to put this off till after the 2012 election. The question that immediately calls up is why?
Well, he doesn't want Hillary to make the decision in the State Department because now she's been found out that one of her former aides is the key lobbyist
right.
on behalf of the Canadian company.
Right.
It's madness. Absolute madness.
It
and
is.
His own climate scientist at NASA is like telling him it's the big one if they go down this road.
That's right.
They will do. He just can't be trusted. He's friends at Goldman Sachs. Have him greatly positioned, and I don't think anything's going to change.
I don't think it is either. I think we're on kind of a narrow road, and it's getting darker and darker, and the rain's coming down, the road's getting slick. I don't know what to expect anymore. I still have faith in our ability to pull back at the last minute because we've done it many times in this country, and I'd like to have that faith now that at the last minute we'll figure out what to do. A candidate will emerge, a man or a woman who really, truly has the best interests of this poor, bleeding, bloody, dying culture at heart, and will do something to revitalize us. But the more I look at it, Nick, the more I start to feel like you do. It's just become almost hopeless. I keep saying though, I haven't lost hope, and I haven't, not yet, but I'm getting close.
It's amazing how dumbed down the people are, and I don't trust them, unfortunately. So we need to find an alternative, otherwise we are royally screwed.
I hear you. Thanks, Nick. I appreciate you calling.
Thank you for everything.
All
love
right.
your show.
Thank you. Take care. Yeah, I know that feeling, and I don't think any of us have to, you know, apologize for what we have witnessed and experienced 3 years of Obama. I don't know why. That's a shock, except, you know, Obama's record since he's been president. It's a shock because very few of us took a look at his record as an activist, as a member of the Illinois legislature, as a member of the U.S. Senate. I remember on this program, we took a look at Hillary's record and we took a look at Obama's record, the voting record of these two senators. And just made the obvious point that neither one was a progressive, neither one was a liberal. They were both interested in more war making. They were both corporate owned potential candidates. They certainly were corporate owned senators. Don't forget who Barack Obama consulted with, who his mentor was in the Senate, Joe Lieberman. This hour has been sponsored by Kathy, not this Kathy, a different Kathy, who writes, give a hug and your respect to our vets today and every day. Signed, Kathy. Thank you, Kathy. Kathleen, appreciate the sponsorship. Jonathan is in Malvern, PA. Hello, Jonathan.
Yeah, Mike, you guys are awesome. How is this party even viable? They've got Iran-Contra, Scooter Libby, Katrina, Mark Foley, Larry Craig, David Bitter prostitution, and over 4,000 dead American troops for non-existent WMDs. I mean, it's a joke. I don't understand it at all.
Well, I don't either. But remember, this is the party of God. The GOP is the party of God. They're doing things that their God wants done. And there's much more than that, of course. Their refusal to acknowledge global climate change. Their refusal to acknowledge that teaching children about sex cuts down on unwanted pregnancies and therefore abortions. I mean, they're very twisted, weird people. I don't understand them. I don't want to understand them. I just want them all to float away, to just rapture, go, leave, you know?
Yeah, I mean, do you think they realize that, what's the guy's name, this guy, Herman Cain, do you think they realize he's basically just another Michael Steele?
Oh, I think he's much worse than Michael Steele.
Right.
I really do. I think what Herman Cain is, he's another Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, who's guilty as sin. Where it concerns harassing women, just a pattern, an ongoing pattern of harassing women. And Uncle Clarence had a bunch of Caucasians advising him, back when George Herbert Walker said this is the most qualified man in America to be a Supreme Court justice. And the Caucasians just said to Uncle Clarence, look, all you have to do here, use this term, use the word lynching, figure out some way to do it. So he came up with high-tech lynching, either he or his wife did. And the phrase stuck. And then all the Caucasians who were against him on principles of law and justice and, being a moderate, I'm talking about a political moderate, a Supreme Court justice is not supposed to be political at all, but the Caucasians, as soon as they heard high-tech lynching, they all went screaming and wetting themselves into the woods and said, oh, quick, 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 confirm him. Uncle Clarence is a sexual predator. Uncle Clarence, in a different time, a different place, would have been sent to prison. Herman Cain is the same thing. These are predators. You know, Caucasians don't have an exclusive franchise on harassing women. People of the dusky race have equal claim on, I can't think of any race that does not produce predatory males that, especially when they're in positions of power, will use that power to get laid or to think they're going to get laid or to think they're going to take advantage of a woman. So Herman Cain, his doppelganger is, Clarence Thomas. That's my opinion anyway. Thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate you checking in. Desmond is in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hello, Desmond.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm actually thrilled to talk to you. Huge
well,
fan. I've been listening to you since late 03.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I was a Nova M founder.
Oh, well, bless your heart. Thank you.
No problem. I grew up in a lovely place called Fort McMurray, Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where the tar sands are.
Uh-huh.
And growing up there, I was really proud to live there and thought it was a great place and played on traveling hockey and baseball teams throughout the province, and was always very proud to represent Fort McMurray. But the older I got, and especially since I started listening to you, I just despise the place now. It's like just so full of greed and just... And I've worked at all the plants, at all areas of the plants, and it's just quite horrifying what they're doing there. And it's really bad.
Nothing well, I understand. I used to be proud. I don't know where the pride came from. I guess it just comes from a kid growing up. I used to be proud to be an American until I started to realize what U.S. foreign policy has been to everybody else on the planet. For the last, especially the last 50 years, because those are the years that I'm concerned with. And when I started to realize what our imperialist foreign policy has been, whether a Democrat was in office or Republican, it didn't really make any difference, no matter what political party. It's just Republicans have gone insane now. But when I started to realize and really understand what had been done by a succession of governments in the United States with no accountability, nobody to say, look, what you're doing is wrong. The few people who did say what you're doing is wrong were labeled as left-wing idiots or troublemakers or what have you. And when I started to figure this out, not figure it out, but started to read and started to understand what we had done in Southeast Asia, in Central America, in... I mean, just pick a place on Earth where the U.S., the policies of the U.S. have caused people to live in horrible poverty, caused people to die in unnecessary wars. I got to the point, you talk about being ashamed of your home province. Jesus, Desmond, just think if you were ashamed of your entire country, which is where I'm at. Desmond, I got to leave it there. Thank you, pal. I understand what you're saying. Trust me. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. So the you know, the charges against Herman Cain just continue to mount, and I realize you know, I said the other night I just didn't want to talk about this garbage, but there is a tangential issue to this sexual harassment. There's a new study released today, I think. Yeah, I think it was released. Yeah, released today, earlier today. By the American Association of University Women, AAUW. And it's about sexual harassment in middle schools and high schools in this country. And according to the AAUW survey, it's become an epidemic. The student-on-student sexual harassment that is, according to the study, pervasive in America's middle schools and high schools. During the 2010-2011 school year, the one, you know, we're in 2011-2012 now, but last school year, 48%, almost half of students in grades 7 through 12 experienced some form of sexual harassment in person or electronically via texting, email, or social media, according to the national survey. The survey says that harassers often thought they were being funny, but the consequences for the people who were the objects of this harassment, according to the survey, was wrenching. Nearly a third of the victims said the harassment made them feel sick to their stomachs, affected their study habits, or, you know, that line that almost all parents hear from middle schoolers, you know, "I don't feel like going to school today, mom or dad." "Why not?" "Oh, I just don't want to." The reluctance to go to school at all once this kind of activity starts. And according to the director of the research on this report for the AAUW, quote, "It's reached a level where it's almost normal, a normal part of the school day. It's somewhat of a vicious cycle. The kids who are harassers often have been harassed themselves," end quote. Now, the survey was conducted last May and June, you know, this year, 2011, asked a little over 1,000 girls and 963 boys from public and private schools nationwide whether they had experienced any of the various forms of sexual harassment. Now, that includes having somebody make sexual comments about the kid, being called gay or lesbian in a negative way, being touched in an unwelcome sexual way, being shown sexual pictures they didn't want to see, or being the subject of unwelcome sexual rumors. Now this is, you know, for real. This is really getting to the point, truth seekers, where it is... It's under the radar, but it is a subtext of criminal activity in this country that is I think it's getting way out of hand. A, B, it's being promoted by religion and by Republicans. I'll get to that in a second. Well, religion and Republicans, here he goes again. All right, well, just hold your tongue until we get to that part, okay? The survey quoted one ninth grade girl as saying she was called a whore, quote, "because I have many friends who are boys," end quote. A 12th grade boy said schoolmates circulated an image showing his face attached to an animal having sex. You know, it's that kind of stuff. When you hear that, when you read it, you go, "Oh, well, big deal." So his picture was on an animal having sex. Nobody knows, or nobody believes that to be true. Really? In all, according to the survey, 56% of the girls and 40% of the boys said they had experienced at least one incident of sexual harassment during the school year. And here's to me, this is a bad part. After being harassed, part of the bad part. I mean, the bad part is harassment at all. But then there's this. Half of the targeted students did nothing about it after being harassed. Of the rest, some talked to parents or friends, but only 9% reported the incident to a teacher, a guidance counselor, or other adult at school, according to the survey. Now, the reasons you can guess for not reporting, you know, the kids doubt that anybody would do anything, Or they were afraid it would make the situation worse if, you know, if you're a rat, you're going to suffer twice as much, right? And concerns about the adult's reaction, the person they reported it to, in so many instances, especially with girls, the victim is considered to have done something to entice the perpetrator. That's so old, it's disgusting. I mean, we know all this, right? Now, this report comes out at a time when the problem of bullying at schools is definitely in the spotlight, in part because of recent suicides. Those suicides were usually of gay kids who were being mercilessly harassed by other students in the school. And it's my opinion, I don't have anything to back this up, but I'll say it anyway, and I'll back it up in a few minutes, that most of the kids doing the harassing of gay students have parents who are Christians, who pump this sick Christian dogma into these kids' heads, especially where it concerns gay kids. You know, the non-gay kids are told all this hate-filled religious garbage about, you know, the Bible says this and the Bible says that. And it's not just Christians, although to the greatest extent, because after all, this is a Christian nation, right? And that's part of the price of entry of being in a Christian nation. You have to expect that if you happen to be gay or lesbian, and evangelical Christians hear about it, they're going to make your life almost unbearable. Orthodox Jews get into this, so do Orthodox Muslims, but not to the extent that Orthodox Christians do. We all know this. The American Association of University Women, AAUW, the report observes that sexual harassment and bullying can sometimes overlap, such as the taunting of kids who are perceived to be gay or lesbian. But there are some important distinctions. For example, there are some state laws against bullying, but serious sexual harassment at a level which interferes with the student's education is prohibited under the federal gender equality legislation known as Title IX. And the report goes on to say, quote, too often the more comfortable term bullying is used to describe sexual harassment, which obviously hides or obscures the role of gender and sex in these incidents. That's according to the report. The report also said, quote, schools are likely to promote bullying prevention while ignoring or downplaying sexual harassment, end quote. Now, our daughter, Molly, who goes to public school, it's, I think they have a couple of preschool rooms, classrooms in this public school, but primarily it's kindergarten through fifth grade. And you cannot walk through that school 10 feet without signs on the walls of the hallways and in the classrooms repeating over and over and over and over and over that bullying or harassment of your fellow student or racial slurs or calling people name calling, all this stuff is not allowed in the school, absolutely not allowed. And of course, the staff, the teaching staff, the administrative staff, parents who are active in the school, as Kathy and I are, and lots of other parents, we make it very clear that bullying is simply not allowed. Now, these are kids who are in primary school, so the idea of sexual harassment hasn't raised its ugly head yet. According to this report, that happens in middle and high school. Now, I've got some more to say to this when we come back, so stick around. Because I think part of the problem comes from religion and right-wing politics. You may disagree, but stick around. Listen.
My name is Luca. I live on the second floor. Just don't ask me what it was. Just don't ask me what it was. Just don't ask me.
You're listening to Mike Malloy. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
21 past the hour. American Association of University Women have released has released a study indicating that as many as half of students grades 7 to 12 experienced some form of sexual harassment last year. And the numbers are going up. And that's what we're talking about here. Kids don't report this stuff for obvious reasons. First of all, the embarrassment. Secondly, they don't know how the authorities in the school are going to react. Third, if word gets out that they reported this, then the harassment increases. Now, we're all familiar, aren't we, with the well-publicized cases of kids who are perceived to be gay or declare themselves to be gay or lesbian, and the harassment begins with such force and hatred and contempt, thanks to the parents, that the kids, some of these kids are committing suicide. Now, all of this comes from the parents and the larger society. I mean, nobody is born with prejudice. You don't have that. It has to be carefully shoveled into your little head. And anti-gay bias is carefully shoveled into the heads of children by these Christian freaks who think that this will get their ticket to heaven punched a little bit quicker. And their darling little children if they teach them hatred. Now, it used to be anti-black garbage that was shoveled into little children's head. But now, I'm talking about white children, the dominant Christian culture, after all, as you've been told over and over again, haven't you? We live in a Christian society. This is a Christian nation. The founders were Christians. Everything is Christian. It's all about Christianism. Okay, let's stipulate that, these evangelical cowards can't run and hide when something like this comes up. Anyway, I'll get to that part in a second. It goes without saying that this kind of harassment interferes with a kid's ability to be in school, to do his or her homework. The survey by the AAUW asked students for suggestions on how to reduce sexual harassment. More than half favored systematic punishment for harassers and said there should be a mechanism for reporting harassment anonymously. Now, how that would happen, I have no idea, but that's what the kids are asking for. The AAUW report says that all schools should create a sexual harassment policy and make sure it's publicized and enforced. And the report also said that schools have got to ensure that students are educated about what their rights are under, if nothing else, under federal Title IX of the gender equality legislation. I believe it comes under Education, Department of Education, but what their rights are under Title IX, with special attention being paid to encouraging girls to respond assertively to harassment since they are targeted more often than boys. And a professor of applied psychology at New York University who has studied adolescent relationships suggested that school anti-harassment policies might have only limited impact without broader cultural changes that break down gender stereotypes. Where have we heard that before? Huh? Overt attempts to exploit, it says, a fellow student sexually have become less common. Overt attempts to exploit a fellow student sexually have become less common, while there's more use of sexual remarks to degrade or insult someone, according to this report, or another report for the National Association of Secondary School Principals. You get that? Overt attempts to exploit a fellow student sexually, to commit some form of sexual contact, forcible sexual contact, have become less common, while there's more use of sexual remarks to degrade or insult someone. There again, I see the influence of evangelical Christianity right there, and right-wing Republican. I realize I'm repeating myself, right-wing Republican politics. It all overlaps. The evangelical Christianity, the neo-fascist Republican attitude, the conservative attitude, it all adds to the use of sexual remarks to degrade or insult someone. The report for the National Association of Secondary School Principals, I'm talking about two of them here, said words can cut a kid all the way to the heart. And when it's on the computers and cell phones, there's no escape. It's absolutely devastating and vicious to a kid. Okay, that's the problem, as reported by the American Association of University Women report issued this morning. So what, I mean, where does this come from? Where all of a sudden actual cases of physical assault, student on student, those cases are declining, according to the report. While increasing exponentially are the use of gender-based or sexual remarks to degrade or humiliate or insult or really, really crush a kid. All right, where's it coming from? I have an idea, and I'll share it with you when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
What you're about to hear. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. So, I don't think anybody who retains even a shred of rationality, can deny that the American society, American culture has promoted, just without let up, sexual harassment, gender harassment. And it gets all the way down to middle schools and high schools, according to this report, and probably lower than that. It's something that we're constantly on guard about, Kathy and me. So far, at the school that Molly goes to, public school Molly goes to, none of that has occurred that we're aware of. And I think we would be aware of it because we try to stay active in the school. And I think that's what most parents have to do. And I realize that's difficult for a lot of parents. I understand that. But where does this come from? Well, there may not be a cause and effect in what I'm going to share with you, but the most recent example, I was watching television this morning about Herman Cain making statements that, you know, he's not going to take any more questions. You know, the American public can go kiss his ass as far as it, as far as these questions about his sexual harassment of his subordinates when he was head of the National Restaurant Association. People just kiss his ass. You know, get out of here. I'm not going to answer your questions. Go away. I'm just not going to do it. Oh, really? Okay, Herman. And that was being discussed by a lot of the anchor people and their guests on both CNN and MSNBC this morning. And the weirdest damn thing to me, and it just, I mean, they might as well have set it off with blaring trumpets. The conversation was about how Herman Cain defending himself against these charges would show how he handles stress and will determine how he would handle the presidency. Do you need me to repeat that again? The charges of sexual harassment, the charges of bringing pressure and smarmy remarks down on your subordinates. And some of these women have said it was repeated. And you know that Herman Cain, just like Uncle Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court Justice, this kind of stuff doesn't happen once or twice or 20 times. It's an ongoing situation. But these punk-ass television anchors and correspondents, the only thing they could get their corporatized teeth into was the fact that this would toughen Herman Cain up. This would determine whether or not Herman Cain could handle the affairs of state. What? So that's the litmus test now. If you are, and they used Bill Clinton as an example. Well, look at Bill Clinton. Look how he handled everything after he was charged with blah, 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 blah. Bill Clinton was never charged with anything even remotely resembling sexual assault. I'm not going to defend him. But if you remember, it was some nasty, nasty Republican operative who recorded phone calls between Clinton's girlfriend and the nasty Republican operative. And then use them to blackmail the president of the United States. These were consenting adults. Whether it violated Bill Clinton's oath of marriage is for him to determine, and his wife and everybody involved. But don't use the Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton thing as an example, because it doesn't fly. Now, the Republicans always try to do that. But that's because Republicans are sick, degenerate hypocrites. All of them. It's just a matter of degrees. So Herman Cain's attitudes toward subordinate women, according to all the television pundits who were discussing this miserable bastard's career of sexual harassment, all of that has to do with toughening him up or whether or not he can take the heat to determine whether or not he's going to be a good president. Now, would they say that the same thing about a female? Let's supposing that, pick one, Michelle Bachmann, that's the only one I can think of, or Sarah Palin last year, or a couple of years ago. If they had been, if Michelle Bachmann were accused of sexually harassing men, would somebody say, would these right-wingers say, would the television pundits say, well, this will determine whether or not she can take the pressure of being president? Jesus God. You see what I'm talking about? So, where do young people get the idea that it's okay to sexually harass their fellow students? Going after them if they're perceived to be gay. Going after them if for any reason whatsoever and using sexual innuendo. Whether it's a homo or hetero, it doesn't make any difference. Well, it does if the homosexual thing is used, because that'll drive a kid to suicide, especially in this culture where it is pounded in day in and day out by these evangelical Christians that being gay or having gay thoughts or gay actions or gay anything will condemn you to hell unless you repent. Repent. All right. Senator John Ensign confessed to cheating on his wife. Republican. Governor Mark Sanford confessed to serious cheating on his wife. Republican. Larry Craig caught in a sex sting operation in a Minnesota airport bathroom. Republican. David Vitter found to have been a client of prostitutes in D.C. and Louisiana. Republican. Mark Foley forced to resign when he was found to be having inappropriate communication with pages, House pages. Republican. Bob Packwood, remember him, as a long time ago, resigned under a threat of public Senate hearings related to 10 female ex-staffers accusing him of sexual harassment. Republican. John Peterson, been accused of sexual harassment and hostile work environment claims by 6 women. He's a Republican from Pennsylvania. Helen Chenoweth, remember her? One of the first to condemn Clinton. She was a Republican representative from Idaho. She admitted to having a 6-year extramarital affair with a married associate. The Spokane Spokesman Review newspaper. But she claimed that she had a pardon from a higher authority. She said, I've asked for God's forgiveness and I've received it. She's since divorced and remarried, no doubt with God's blessing. J.C. Watts of Oklahoma. Watts tried to cover up his out-of-wedlock child. He's the one that said character is simply doing right when no one is looking. Republican of Oklahoma. John Schmitz, Orange County, California, former extreme right-wing Republican, father of 2 children by a mistress. His mistress was a former student whom Representative Schmitz taught when he was a professor at Santa Ana College. And one of these children was once admitted to an Orange County hospital with hair tied in a square knot around his penis so tightly that it was almost severed. Republicans. You might remember Congressman Schmidt's daughter, Mary Kay Letourneau, who made national headlines as a schoolteacher. She was arrested twice for having sex and producing two children with an underage student of hers, beginning when the boy was 13. I mean, do you want me to keep going? There's really no reason to keep going here. You can go all the way back to Republican racist pedophile and U.S. Senator Strom Thurmond from South Carolina, who had sex with the family maid and produced a child that he never acknowledged publicly. And all the sexual harassment perpetrated by the predators in the Catholic Church. Just without let up. It doesn't stop, and it doesn't make any difference. I guess you heard that Ireland has decided to close its embassy in the Vatican in response to the Vatican closing its embassy in Ireland, because the Irish Prime Minister just about went berserk about the filth and corruption and degeneracy of the Catholic Church in Ireland. Yeah, Ireland, right. If there is a stereotypical Catholic country, it would be Ireland. And the government of Ireland has said to the Catholic Church, get your goddamn hands out of our country and off our children's bodies. My. So where does all this sexual harassment of fellow students come from in the schools? You getting any ideas? The sexualization of children's clothing and dress. Have you noticed that? You can go on online. Just take a look at what are they called now, Kathy? Tweens, kids from 9 or 8 to 13 or something. They're not quite teenagers. Have you seen what they're wearing? Have you seen this program on television? What is it? Tiaras and Tots? What is that program? Toddlers and Tiaras, where kids as young as 2 and 3, these little girls, are dressed up, made up to look like little, I don't know what you would call them, little strippers, little the streetwalkers, little high-priced call girls, and then these sick, degenerate mothers parade them across stages to win trophies. Have you seen this? On and on it goes. Now, if I'm coming across like a prude, trust me, I'm not. But where it concerns kids, I'm merciless. You sexually harass a child. I've said this before. And even though I'm against capital punishment, you sexually harass a child, I think you should go to prison for probably 25 or 30 years. Because you're not going to be cured. And let the boys in the jail take care of you. By the American Association of University Women, it's pretty devastating in its contents about sexual or gender harassment in middle and high schools that kids are suffering right now. Nearly half, I think 48% of all students surveyed report this kind of harassment, and it's not physical assault so much as it is the verbal or electronic assault, attacking someone because of their perceived gender identification, using the term whore against a girl in middle school who happens to have a lot of male friends. You want another example of that? You know, I blame the Republicans and the Christian evangelicals for this. Not just the Christian evangelicals, but most religions are pretty corrupt where it concerns human sexuality. They really are. They add to, if not openly promote, the idea of sexual harassment against anyone who is slight deviation, no pun intended, from what the Christians or the Muslims or the Jews see as the ideal, God's ideal, one man, one woman, yada, yada, yada. And the result of this persecution by Christians. Now, these are the ones who are always screaming that they're being persecuted, which is a perfect defensive tactic. The best defense is a strong offense. This is what they do. But let me give you an example. In Massachusetts, when was it? On Saturday, I believe, Elizabeth Warren held a town meeting. She's running against Scott Brown, the senator there, the Republican senator. And Elizabeth Warren, was, you know, stating her case. She was at a town hall meeting, letting people know what her positions were. Now, Elizabeth Warren is a liberal. She believes in protecting, using government to protect citizens from the kind of predation that we're all experiencing now. The stinking, lying, cheating, filthy, thievery, murderous, raping, economic rape in this country. And Elizabeth Warren advocates having strong guidelines and laws against this and locking people up. So the teabaggers were there. And if you saw that video, there's a guy leaning up against a wall. He's been out of work for a year, according to subsequent reports, and he calls her a socialist whore. In the middle of her speech, a socialist whore. For trying to save this poor, worthless bastard's life. She's a socialist whore. Not a socialist operative, not a socialist scum, not a socialist a traitor, but a whore. Now, you can see the video at Huffington Post, and you can also see how Elizabeth Warren handled it. And, the best way to handle that kind of remark, sexual attack, which is all that is to ignore it, and which is exactly what she did. If you're an adult, now, if you're a kid, it's a little bit different. But the increased epidemic incidence, epidemic level incidence, according to the American Association of University Women, and you probably saw reporting on this report today if you watched any cable news, but the spike in the incidence, the number of incidents, and the viciousness. And I grant you that social media is assisting in publicizing this kind of hate speech against other kids, texting and what am I trying to say? Not YouTube, but Facebook and places like that where all of a sudden instead of just whispering as it was perhaps when I was in high school. Instead of whispering, hey, did you know Johnny's been out there having sex with Susie? Instead of, you whisper that to some other guy and or some other girl and whispers, and by noon it's gotten to maybe 10 people. Now, same remark put on social media by noon has traveled around the earth several times. So there's no escaping this for the kids. But where's it coming from? You know, we can blame the larger society. Of course we can. The sexualization of kids. But it is certain factions within this culture that are doing this, in my opinion, and it is all from the hard right. There is no, any time an effort is made to have sex education in schools, it's the right wingers who go berserk. They want their little darlings to be taught this right wing Christian garbage at home about, the queers are all going to hell and whatever other kinds of bigotry and prejudices that these parents can inject into their children. And the kids pick up on this and they see the hypocrisy. You know, they see Herman Cain. I know. Okay. All right. Let's. I'm not trying to get crazy on you and suggest that a 13-year-old is going to be that tuned in to what passes for politics in this country, this filth, this gutter crap. But they do pick it up. They hear their parents talking about it. They might hear it on a news break during listening to music on the radio, if kids still listen to the radio. You know what I'm saying? They do pick it up. And they may hear that Herman Cain, according to the pundits, not according to Cain, but according to the pundits, according to Cain, he never did anything, but according to the political pundits, Herman Cain will demonstrate whether or not he is ready to be president of the United States according to how he handles charges of sexual harassment by what's it up to now? Five people? That has become not how much you know about political science. Well, somebody asked me about Becca, Stan. I'll just look at him and say, well, what do you know about it? I mean, this is insane. So the pundits will tell you now. They've been telling you all day, haven't they? Well, this is a challenge for Herman Cain because if he can withstand these kinds of sexual charges and do it well, that means he's ready to handle the office of the presidency. Wow. I'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Keep it lit. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.